Ephesians chapter 5. What we're going to see this morning as we look again at this chapter, this relationship of the husband and the wife and a picture of the church, we're going to see the proper order of things. This is the proper order of things. This society disagrees with the proper order of things. Do you know why? Sin. Can't stand God in their natures. They can't stand the things that represent God and His providence and the way that this world operates. But we're going to see the proper order of things. Last week we looked at this great mystery of marriage. This great mystery of marriage. This message goes with last week's message. 20 years from now, somebody's listening to this, you go look it up on the computer or wherever they got then and listen to last week's message first. These things kind of build on each other, don't they? They ought to be able to stand alone by themselves, and I pray that they do. But we grow through these things. That's why the Lord puts a body of believers together so He can grow us in grace. Okay, have some building blocks. Imagine being 13 years old and going through a growth spurt, and it's July. You want to grow some before school starts back, and you grew every bit of you was going to grow that summer in 1 hour. It hurt, wouldn't it? That's why we don't show up and you don't come to church twice a year and eat a meal and say, I've grown in grace, and then go back to doing what you're doing. The Lord designed this on purpose. I pray if He'll give us eyes to see it, we'll see towards the end there how this application applies to husbands and wives and all throughout. Our God's a God of order. But this covenant of grace was established, this marriage between Christ and His church before time was. It wasn't a covenant of works. It's been 6 years since I preached a wedding, and it might be another six before I ever get to again, but I look forward to it. Whenever two people stand together and get married, two believers get married, they're entering into a covenant of grace because it's a picture of Christ and His church and that covenant of grace. Christ didn't say to the Father in times before, I will if they will. He said, I will. He said, I do. When a husband looks at a wife, he don't say, I'm going to love you and take care of you. I'm going to love you as Christ loved the church, as long as you don't run around on me. As long as you keep the house. As long as you keep groceries in the refrigerator. He says, I do. Don't matter if you do. I do. Bride looks at her husband. And she says, I do. So for you young folks, this is something to pay close attention to. I pray we can see that this morning. This instruction is given carnally to wives. As our walk in this world, it's given to you brides, to you wives. And this instruction that we're going to read, it's given to those spiritual wives, men and women, the bride of Christ. And we're going to see that anything that's asked of us, any precept that's given in the Scriptures, wives submit to your husbands, Christ fulfilled it on behalf of His people. Everything. So we're going to see the physical, the spiritual, and the fulfillment. Some children of God, by His perfect wisdom and providence, are given the ability to serve the Lord as a picture of the gospel, of the glad tidings. Somebody asked Brother Barnard one time, got him after service, got him in the office, got him by himself, said, Brother Barnard, I want to serve the Lord. He said, well, do it. That's brilliant. I want to serve the Lord. Do it. Serve. Some people, our whole lives, or believers, are given to be a picture of that gospel, that news that the triune God is holy and just, that there's a peculiar people putting Christ before time. And that people, they fell in Adam. They fell in themselves. They woke up every morning, they fell. And that Christ came to be born of a virgin for them. To live for them, to die for them, to be risen for them. All that were given to Christ will be kept for eternity. And no one can take them out of His hand. Nobody, that includes me. Wish we could get that. And this people, this bride, this Lamb's wife has been with our Lord, is one with our Lord, and shall be one with our Lord in glory forever. Some are privileged to be an example, a type of this to show it in their lives. That would be a burden too, wouldn't it? To have something in your life go through a trial you'd have to endure to be a picture of this gospel. Jonah. Think Jonah got seasick on the way to Tarshish? He probably got cold, didn't he? He got wet. And that whale's belly, it probably wasn't the most comfortable place to be. Might have been some of the bones in there poking him. There wasn't anyone there to see him. No one saw this outwardly, this discomfort. But inwardly, there was some burden he bore, wasn't it? He was all alone with the Lord. But what a picture of our Redeemer. And this man Jonah's life, of our Redeemer's death, burial, and resurrection. What a privilege Jonah had to go through that, to be a picture of our Christ, of our gospel, of our Lord, to be a living testimony of free and sovereign grace. Think about those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were publicly scorned. There wasn't 10 people there. They was brought up in front of the masses. The king got on to them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "What you doing? You better do what I tell you." They were threatened. He said, "I'll kill you." And then they were bound, handcuffed, led to the furnace. Shameful. That's a walk of shame, isn't it? What a privilege to be chosen of God, to come out of that furnace not even smelling of smoke. To be on this earth walking and talking as a proof that His name is Jesus and He shall save His people. And when this world's over, that smell of sin won't even be a hint on us. We have this sweet-smelling savor of Christ. Imagine the privilege if you and I were given an opportunity to be a living picture of the gospel of God's grace. We are. Wake up every morning. We are. We're given this. What we're going to look at today is the wife. You brides, you are a walking, living example of this gospel. But in every situation we are. All believers are, aren't we? How we talk to little children. How we dress. How we conduct ourselves in this life. How we drive an automobile carriage. If you use like the older terminology. How we interact with traffic on a road is an opportunity of publicly being a picture of our gospel. But we're going to look at the wives. First off, there's a lot of husbands and wives out there. You go through this country. That's diminishing. I'll have to get a history lesson maybe in another 50 years of what marriage is and then go into what a husband and a wife ought to be. But there's a lot of husbands and wives out there. There's a whole lot of quote-unquote Christians too, ain't there? What's my audience? That's a big thing in public speaking. Who am I talking to? What's my audience? Who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to believing husbands and wives. That's who Paul's talking to. That's who I'm talking to. Believing husbands and wives, and I'm especially speaking to unmarried believers and you young people. You that believe Christ, He's quickened. He's performed a work in you. You pay attention to me. And especially you little people. You listen to me. You see in Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives are to submit to their husbands just like they submit to the Lord. Husbands, you are to love your wives just like Christ loved the church, His bride. If you don't know the Lord, you can't submit to your husband as you submit unto the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you can't love your bride as Christ loved the church. Paul's speaking to believers. I'm speaking to believers today. Why is the wife always addressed first? You ever wondered that? That's scriptures. Anytime it's addressed, the wife's mentioned first. They have their own sin, don't they? That's the bride. They have demons running inside of them. That old fleshly nature that's warring with that new spirit inside of them. Just as every other believer is, don't they? And then, so young, in this life, they're married to somebody else, to a husband. And that husband says, I'm the head of the house. I'm so good. This is where the Lord put me. You got to learn. She's got to sit there dealing with her own self and got to wait for her Lord to teach him different, to teach her husband better. She needs comfort in first, don't she? This instruction here in chapter 5 is to believing wives, to believing husbands. Well, what if I'm married, but neither me nor my spouse know the Lord? My marriage ain't working. We've got some rocky roads. I'm spending more time in a motel than I am at home. But we don't know the Lord. Learn of Him first. First and foremost, come to Christ. Learn of Him. Christ is the one thing needful, not fixing your marriage. So if we had more books about who Christ is and what He accomplished for His people than we do to fixing marriages, so people may know Him more in this country. We come individually to Him. That's why you need to learn of Him first. We don't come as a group. We don't come as husband and wife. The Lord don't save us because we are knit together. He saves us individually, then He knits us together. Grows us together. If you're unmarried and you believe Christ, if you are His, do not marry an unbeliever. You young ladies, you be careful who you marry anyway. Because whenever you go into that covenant of grace, that covenant of marriage to another person, you're going to be submitting to them for a long time. Be careful about who you marry. And you young people are right where you need to be right now. This is where I've heard this stuff since I was a little tiny fella. I always tell you that. I reach down here when I do it. You are right where you need to be. This is how the Lord teaches His people. You need to hear this right where you sit. Paul told us, 2 Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? If Christ is the most important thing in my life, and if you're His, He is your life. How could I turn to one and say, oh man, you know what the Lord did today? And they said, don't hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't willfully go into that. Don't willfully walk into that. But what if I believe and my spouse doesn't? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. This happens much more frequently. Much more frequently. A man or a woman, husband or wife, they're married. They hear, one of them hears the gospel. Lord sends a preacher to them. And they see Christ. Christ is revealed in them. The Lord saves them. He makes them willing in the day of His power. But the spouse doesn't have a care in the world for the gospel. This happens frequently. This happens often. Sometimes the spouse, they don't fight with them, but they go along to get along. And they'll go to church with them and they'll doodle next to them, and they'll daydream. They'll think about what they're going to plant in the garden that year or whatever. Or they take a nap while they're sitting next to them. What am I as the bride of Christ, as His bride? What am I supposed to do with my unbelieving spouse? Do I make them come? Do you make them pay attention and stay focused and awake whenever they come? Both are impossible, ain't they? Can't do that. Can't handcuff somebody, bring them nowhere. You can't keep somebody's focus or attention, no matter how open their eyes are, you can't keep them awake. What are we supposed to do? Look here in 1 Peter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Peter's saying own husbands too. We're going to see that in a little bit. This is important. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Wives, if your husbands do not know the Lord, submit to Him as you submit to Christ. Within reason. We're not looking to breaking laws or anything. Or missing church. That's a whole other message. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It's what Paul tells us in Colossians. As it's fit. Wives are to submit to their own husbands as it's fit, as it's proper, becoming saints as it is to the Lord. If there's an obvious law breaking, the husband's saying, wife, now I want you to go out, you submit to me, but I want you to go rob some banks. Don't go rob banks. You're not to do that. That's not fit into the Lord. And if the husband forbids a believing wife to sit underneath the gospel, that's not fit either. You are to be appealing to your husband, your unbelieving husband, by obeying your God in your actions, living as a child of light, by your words. There's authority we have when we speak the truth concerning God and man, isn't there? According to His word. There's an authority there. Or we say, the Lord did this. The Lord made it rain today. The Lord didn't want me going down there today. That's why a car won't start. There's authority there because we know what we're talking about. And by fearing God and honoring Him. Why would a believing wife submit to an unbelieving husband? That he may be won over. He could say, why are you doing this? Christ is why I'm doing this. And he said, I want to go hear whatever you've heard. I see a change. Now this is to the wife. All this bleeds together, the husbands and the wives. But to husbands, this applies to you too. If you have an unbelieving wife, you lay down your life for her. As Christ laid down His life for the church. You forgive as Christ forgave you. And one day the Lord may use that work in her heart and she'll say, what has gotten into you? And you say, oh honey, it ain't what's gotten into me, it's who. I know where you can hear about Him. Back in our text, in Ephesians 5. Physically, in our walk in this world, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. What is submit? We just cringe when we hear that, don't we? Submit. It means esteem the other higher than yourself. Put their needs first. The two Hebrew root words that comes up with submit here means arrange in an orderly manner under someone. Be orderly about it. Be purposeful about it. To be under someone. Give place to the husband. Give honor to that position because God has. That's why we're to do it. We're not to speak negatively about our Lord, are we? And wives shouldn't speak negatively about their spouses either. Husbands shouldn't speak negatively about their brides. Not in public. Not in private. Not in front of the children. Not just around family. Don't let it happen. Not to do that. What is it to submit? Put their needs before our own. Who are we to submit to? Our own husbands. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Why did Peter make such an emphasis putting that in there? Why did Paul, every time he wrote, put your own husbands? If a wife comes to you, one of you husbands, and said, honey, I love you. I love you like I love every man on the face of the earth. All of a sudden that love don't matter, does it? That's not electing love, is it? That's not a covenant of grace of love. It says, no, it's to your own husbands. Submit to one. Your one husband that's given to you. And don't you worry about what all your girlfriend's husbands are doing. That's submitting to your own husband. Well, Billy down the street, he let his wife do this, or he told her to do that, or she got a new house, or she got a new car. Here's what she got for her birthday. No, submit to your own husband. Don't matter what that's doing. Don't worry about what their plans are. Don't question other husbands either. I can't believe he's doing that. We'll see this as it grows. Spiritually and in completion. But I can't believe he got that for her birthday. You don't know her like I know her. It's an inside gift. You don't need to question those things, do you? How are they to do that? As unto the Lord. You may be responsible, but He's the one accountable. And you say, well, I don't trust my husband. Maybe you shouldn't. He's a child of Adam just like we are, isn't he? Just like every one of us. But do you trust the one who joined you together? Do you trust the Lord that rules and reigns in the hearts of the king and everybody else? Do we trust Him? Turn to Philippians chapter 2. one book to the right there, Philippians 2. Here's a great motivation for a woman that is just as wise as her husband, or wiser. That's just as able-bodied, has just as many good ideas as her husband does, and just as worthwhile of an intellect. Husbands, we'll look at us next week. But why would a person that's just equal in mind and body submit to another human being? I married up. My wife is smarter than I am. She has a longer memory than I do. Why would she want to submit to me? She can remember better than I can. Here in Philippians 2, verse 5. Remember, Paul's writing to believers here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. In our physical walk in this world, it's a great honor to be a bride, to be a wife, to represent the bride of Christ, to be a living example to your husbands, to your friends, to your brethren, to your children, of what Christ has done in and for his people. I hear that so often of, they're just a housewife. That runs through me. It gets me so upset. Would you say, well, I'm just a child of God? Oh, we wouldn't say that, would we? Oh, no. That came at too dear a price, didn't it? To become a child of God. That came at the price of Christ's blood. This church of God, this bride of His, that's a precious bride. That's the bride He came to this earth for. That's the bride that He lived for, that He shed His blood for. In their place, He became their substitute. He entered into that grave willingly for this bride. And He rose for this bride. That ain't just a housewife, is it? We're not just children of God, are we? We are children of God. To be a person redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is the highest office a human could ever hold. So many people seek honor and praise and those high seats in the synagogue. To be a child of God, what a precious thing. And to be given a privilege to live a life that typifies the gospel, that shows others the glad tidings, that's a high honor and a high calling. That's a ministry for all around you. Service to them. Now for all of us, the spiritual bride. I try to divide these in where we can chew on them. Here's physically how you walk. Here's spiritually what this means to male and female, to the church of God. And here's how Christ fulfilled it all. But it just all bleeds together, don't it? You can't separate them. You can't separate this man that's inside of him. Spiritually, who is this? The bride of Christ, men and women. You are bought with a price. A dowry was paid. It was blood. That's what it was. You were loved before. You were foreknown. You were chosen in love. You were redeemed in love. You were robed in those wedding garments. Your husband has provided for you, male and female. What is a spiritual bride to do? You are to submit yourselves. The whole of you. Every bit of you. Same as that physical application. You are to esteem the other higher than yourself. If we know Christ, He is esteemed higher than we esteem ourselves. If we know who we are, we esteem our brethren higher than ourselves, don't we? We put their needs first. We're arranged in an orderly manner under someone. We give place to the husband, Christ our husband. We give honor to Him and His position as the head of His church. Why? Because God has. The Father has. The Father's honored Him in His person and His office. We're not to speak negatively about our Lord. And we shouldn't about with our spouses either. We don't talk negatively about Him. Who is to submit to? Your own husband. We have one husband if we're His. We don't have Christ on Wednesdays and Buddha on Tuesdays. And works. We don't have a wedding vows of grace one day and works the next day, do we? We submit to our own husbands. How do we submit to our Christ, our husband? As we do unto the Lord, submitting to Him in all things, trusting Him, honoring Him. Is that really to every one of us, or just is talking about women? Couldn't be, right? Look here in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We're to do it in everything. And in verse 21, this is all of us, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The church is to fully submit in everything to Christ our husband. We're to trust Him, honor Him, and rest in Him. Experience the strength of your husband. That's his responsibility, isn't it? Well, he'll take care of it. That's a guy I know that catches a lot of fish and crawfish for a living. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going to go out and catch some crawfish. And whenever he went to go fishing, she started making the gravy. She started making the biscuits. He told his grandson, he said, you know why she's making that? He said, because you told her you was going to go fishing. He goes, that's right. She believes me. I'm going to bring some fish back. She's resting in her husband. That's what we're to do to our spiritual husband. This pattern goes from the smallest to the largest. People say they got a lot of things to knock about science. Oh, there's an order to things. Don't put my faith in science, but as a scientist, I look under a microscope and I say, look what the Lord made. Not how can man manipulate it, but look what the Lord did. You go to physics on a molecular level to a planetary level, it's the same. Lord's consistent, isn't He? In the home, husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Not to every man. Honor him. Don't talk bad about him. Submit to him in all things. In the church, pastors, as a husband to the congregation of the bride, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Not to every pastor we know. We honor them. We respect them, what the Lord put into it. But if there'll come a day I say something you don't like, well, I'm going to call Gabe, and I'm going to call Brother Clay, and I'm going to call Brother John, and I'm going to call Brother Rick. I'm going to get this thing sorted. I'm going to keep calling around until I find somebody that tells me what I want to hear. Submit to your own husbands. Those other pastors, they got people today, they have their own brides to attend to as well, don't they? May not answer the phone. So in the home, husbands and wives, in a local assembly, or and pastors in the local assembly, and then in this generation, all these local assemblies together, these other locations we know of where the Lord saves some folks. They're on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in the Midwest, several places throughout there. We're all governed by Christ, our husband, aren't we? Our head. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. We don't have a governing body to rule over us, to sanction who's going to, what pastor's going to move every 2 or 3 years. That makes some people's heads spin. I said, well, where did you go to seminary? Well, who gave you the marching orders to come here? Christ, my husband did. My head did. He did it in the hearts of his people. They just ain't good enough. And then throughout time, in the home, in the church, and all the local assemblies in a generation, and throughout time, that body of Christ, from the first saint to the last, the whole church, and Christ our head, the wives, the body, submits to our own husband as unto the Lord. We everyone turn to Him. We submit, we turn the whole of ourselves over to Him, to Christ, our kinsman redeemer, our head, our husband, not to another, and especially not to ourselves. Especially not to ourselves. Well, I think. Stop. Submit to your husband. Why is Christ worthy to submit to? As unto the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. This is the determined order our triune God set forth. Therefore, it's right. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. The Lamb of God who laid down His life for His bride, for His wife, is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Christ is our example in all things. And He accomplished everything for His people. Everything. the precepts of wives submitting to your husbands as our walk in this world. This is a principle, isn't it? How you doing? How you doing at it? Is that what you did? You done that your whole life from your youth up, like that rich young ruler? The Lord always comes to us at that second table, doesn't he? Second table of the law. Knowing we think we can do that, but we don't have the first table written in our hearts. He hasn't done that for them yet. But how have we done walking this earth? Brethren, men and women, a spiritual bride of Christ, how have we done honoring Christ our husband in all things? How have we done submitting to him this morning? Well, I'm mad about this, I think. Have I done that today? Did Christ submit to the Father? He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Why did he do that? I'm required to. You're required to. That's why I came. That's just New Testament stuff, isn't it? What's Psalm 40 say? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. He came to do the Father's will. Just as a wife is equal to her husband in many ways, in many abilities, ideas, wisdom, education, but is to submit to her husband, to the head. Christ came to be made like us, to obey the Father on our behalf, the whole time being totally equal with him, completely equal with the Father. We read there in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why didn't he think he was stealing honor? Because he was equal with him. He is him. He said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They're one. Christ prayed to the Father always. There was communication there, wasn't there? You husbands and wives in your homes, talk to one another. The bride here, talk to one another. Call your brethren. See how they're doing. Call brethren in other communities. Can't call throughout time, though, can we? We can read a letter from them, maybe. See what Brother Spurgeon wrote. Or maybe Brother Gill wrote something for us for our benefit. Communicate with one another. And our Master, he prayed for his bride. It's in that high priestly prayer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He prayed for his own bride. You husbands, pray for your brides. You wives, pray for your husbands. Y'all pray for me. The Lord gives me a message. Pray for his preachers throughout this generation and those to come in time. The Lord raise up people to preach his gospel to them. In the home, in the congregation, in the church of our day, and with our husband, Christ the Lord, we pray. We pray together. All right, next week, we'll be looking at the husbands. We ain't off the hook yet, are we? And then Lord willing, the following week, we'll look at the parents, the fathers and the mothers. And that just happened to be on Mother's Day. I couldn't have planned that.